The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First, at least 1,450 people are so far known to have died in the earthquakes that struck Venezuela on Wednesday. Hundreds of buildings collapsed, leaving many trapped in the rubble. Orla Guerin is the BBC's senior international correspondent and is in northern Venezuela. Orla has described how the people there are angry at the lack of rescue efforts from the state.
As I've seen in other earthquake stories that I have covered, you see big floodlit areas where teams are working through the night. None of that was here. What we found when we arrived was simply local people who have been trying their hardest for the last few days and nights, staying here, sleeping in the streets, trying to move rubble, in many cases with nothing more than their bare hands. And there is a huge sense that the state has completely let them down. Now, during the course of the afternoon, we are seeing more activity here. We've certainly seen the police on the streets, but there is still no sign of a large-scale mobilised presence by the state.
And that is Orla Guerin. And there are tens of thousands of people who are still missing in the aftermath of those earthquakes. I heard another BBC reporter this morning who lives in the area saying, as far as he is concerned and from what he has seen, this is the worst natural disaster to hit the region since Haiti back in 2010. So we'll bring you more on that story as we go through the days ahead. Now, though, we return home because almost 1,900 women were turned away from domestic violence refuges in the last 6 months of 2025. This is due to a lack of beds. The report is from Safe Ireland and their interim CEO, Christine Lodge, joins me now. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me on.
We're delighted to talk to you this morning, but you say this is really concerning, really worrying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The figures are quite shocking. Not surprising, but shocking.
So tell me what is happening then when women arrive for help or seek a bed to try and escape a dangerous situation.
Well, what we can see from the census, which Safe Ireland held on the 28th of January of this year, 38 of our services, Safe Ireland coordinated a network of 38 services across the country, and we held a one-day census, and that captured these very concerning figures and findings. And one of the, I suppose, the most concerning finding is that the housing crisis is directly impacting on survivors' ability to safely leave abusive relationships and rebuild stability. So we weren't surprised by that, but it is quite shocking to see that.
We were told years ago, though, weren't we, that the counties in Ireland that didn't have any beds at the time, this was, I think, about 10, 12 years ago, that it would be a priority for government at that time, Christine, to make sure that there was a refuge in every county. Now, clearly that hasn't happened. Are things improving?
Yeah, to be fair, there is really good progress being made with the establishment of COON in February 2024. And there certainly is a commitment from government to build a refuge in every county. And that investment programme is well underway. It hasn't completed yet, but it is well underway. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that almost 1,900 women could not access safe refuge accommodation in the last 6 months of 2025.
So tell me what is happening when a woman is in a desperate situation. And let's face it, if you're, you know, knocking on the door looking for accommodation, perhaps with children in tow, you are in a desperate situation. In many cases, then they're getting the answer that there is nowhere for them to go.
Exactly. And what we can see is that when women make the decision to leave, and that's a big decision to make. What we're seeing now, and the census reflects that, is that women are reluctant to leave an abusive relationship because of the fear of homelessness. And that's the biggest fear that women face, is because at this moment in time, when they make a decision to leave, they can hopefully have a bed in refuge for themselves and their children. As we can see from the figures, there's a capacity for 172 women and 527 children in the system at present. And the demand far outweighs the resources that are available. So women are really fearful about leaving the situation on that basis.
Well, it can be really difficult to make that decision to leave. But I suppose what's shocking for us listening to this, Christine, is that if you decide that I'm going to go, I mean, we can imagine what that must be like. And you'll know this from dealing with people who make that decision every day. You pick up your belongings, you make all of the arrangements, you're terrified, you decide to go, and you're turned away.
Exactly. So that's a big issue for women now, is that they feel there is nowhere for them to go. Refuge accommodation places is very, very limited. They can't access, for many, many reasons, they can't access safe, appropriate alternative accommodation. So many are choosing to stay and not bring their children into refuge for fear of homelessness. I mean, when we look at the capacity within the current refuge system of 527 for children, and we can see from our census, there was only 93 children in refuge at the time of the census. That tells us that although we had 162 women in refuge, there wasn't the amount of children that we would have had expected. And that's because women are too fearful to bring the children into refuge for fear of homelessness.
Okay, so just tell me a little bit more about that. Maybe just leaving the census aside for a minute, just give me the lived experience, Christine, of this, and you and your staff, your team at Safe Ireland. Mm-hmm. What are they hearing from women in particular when it comes to their fears around bringing their children with them into a refuge? What are they saying to you?
Well, what they're saying is that it's taken them, some women, it's taken them many years to make that decision to leave. And for a lot of these women, they would have been supported for many years by their local DV service to make that decision when they were ready. But when they make that decision to move, the fear is that they won't have any place to go. And some women, you know, will leave because it's unsafe to stay at home, but they might have to stay with family members. They might be sofa surfing. They might be bringing their children from home to home until refuge accommodation or alternative accommodation can become available. So the lived experience is that some might say when they make the decision to leave, that's the biggest decision. But what happens then is that the pathway out of abuse is just simply not there. So even though they've made that huge decision, the systemic barriers that they face does not make that an easier journey out of abuse.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sure they're thinking ahead as well. What happens after I leave a refuge? Let's say that they manage to get a bed and get a place there. I'm sure they're looking at what comes next. And for many of them, it's a very difficult situation, isn't it? When you're looking at, you know, what is going to be the housing available to me and to my children once I get through this emergency period.
Exactly, because not every woman is, you know, HAP or social housing is not available to a lot of women for various reasons, you know, in terms of their means, or they might be co-property owners or have co-tenancies. So there's plenty of limitations and systemic barriers that women face when they're leaving refuge. And that's why there's such a reluctance to come into a refuge in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And what are your staff saying to people when they don't have a bed for them? Where can you send them, or do you simply have to turn them away?
Well, the staff, turning women away is as a last resort. And for some of the services, not all of the services, they may have a very limited budget themselves that they might be able to afford to put a woman and her children up in a local B&B or a local hotel for a night or two. So turning women away is the last resort. But it does happen. It absolutely does happen. Unfortunately, that's the reality on the ground. That's what we're seeing, and that's what our services are reporting.
And I'm sure
that work together.
That can only be a really short-term fix as well. I mean, Safe Ireland can't pay for a long period of time for those kind of places, that sort of a solution.
Absolutely. It's very short term. It's a night or two at best. And at that stage, the DV support teams in all of the services across the country will work hard to try and find a solution for that woman, even if it's for a short term until a refuge bed becomes available. So we try our very best not to turn any woman and her children away, but the harsh reality of it is that the resources and the infrastructure is simply not there to meet the need that we're faced with at the minute.
Now, you also found that there are many people who report significant emotional distress when they're going through court proceedings. So are you recommending that change needs to happen on that front too?
Absolutely. In addition to the housing crisis as being the biggest, the single biggest challenge, we're also seeing that that's number two, that victim survivors face significant issues navigating the court system. And Safe Ireland have drafted a submission in that regard in relation to changes that we would like to see in order to facilitate women who are going through that process.
All right, Christine, thank you for joining us on the programme. That's Christine Lodge, who's the interim CEO with Safe Ireland. And if you've been affected by anything that you heard in that interview, you can contact Safe Ireland's national free phone helpline. The number is 1800 341 900. That's 1800 341 900.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.